inches of puckered scar tissue, clean and pink against the darker skin. He picked off a last fat maggot and gave it to Harper to put safely away. "There, my beauty, well fed you are." Sergeant Harper closed the tin and looked up at Sharp.
"You were lucky, sir."
That was true, thought Sharp. The French hussar had nearly ended him, that man's blade halfway through a massive downstroke when Harper's rifle bullet had lifted him from the saddle, and the Frenchman's grimace, framed by the weird pigtails, had turned to sudden agony. Sharp had twisted desperately away, and the sabre, aimed at his neck, had sliced into his thigh to leave another scar as a memento of 16 years in the British Army. It had not been a deep wound, but Sharp had watched too many men die from smaller cuts. The blood poisoned, the flesh discoloured and stinking, and the doctors helpless to do anything but let the man sweat and rot to his death in the charnel houses they called hospitals. A handful of maggots did more than any army doctor, eating away the diseased tissue to let the healthy flesh close naturally. He stood up and tested the leg.
"Thank you, Sergeant. Good as new. Pleasure's all mine, sir."
Sharp pulled on the cavalry overalls he wore instead of the regulation green trousers of the 95th Rifles. He was proud of the green overalls with their black leather reinforcement panels, stripped from the corpse of a chasseur colonel of Napoleon's Imperial Guard last winter. The outside of each leg had been decorated with more than 20 silver buttons, and the metal had paid for food and drink as his small band of refugee riflemen had escaped south through the Galician snows. The colonel had been a lucky kill. There were not many men in either army as tall as Sharp, but the overalls fitted him perfectly, and the Frenchman's soft, rich, black leather boots could have been made for the English lieutenant. Patrick Harper had not been so fortunate. The sergeant topped Sharp by a full 4 inches, and the huge Irishman had yet to find any trousers to replace his faded, patched, and tattered pair. They were scarcely fit to scare crows in a turnip field. The whole company was like that, their boots literally tied together with strips of hide, and as long as their parent battalion was home in England, Sharp's small company could find no commissary officer willing to complicate his account books by issuing them with new trousers or shoes. Sergeant Harper handed Sharp his uniform jacket.
"Do you want a Hungarian bath, sir?"
Sharp shook his head.
"It's bearable."
There were not too many lice in the jacket, not enough to justify steeping it in the smoke from a grass fire and to smell like a charcoal burner for the next 2 days. The jacket was as worn as those of the rest of his company, but nothing, not the best tailored corpse in Portugal or Spain, would have persuaded Sharp to throw it away. It was green, the dark green jacket of the 95th Rifles, and it was the badge of an elite regiment. British infantry wore red, but the best British infantry wore green, and even after 3 years in the 95th, Sharp took pleasure in the distinction of the green uniform. It was all he had, his uniform and what he could carry on his back. Richard Sharp knew no home other than the regiment, no family except for his company, and no belongings except what fitted into his pack and pouches. He knew no other way to live and expected that it would be the way he would die. Round his waist he tied the red officer's sash and covered it with the black leather belt with its silver snake buckle. After a year in the peninsula, only the sash and his sword denoted his officer's rank, and even his sword, like the overalls, broke regulations. Officers of the Rifles, like all light infantry officers, were supposed to carry a curved cavalry sabre, but Sharp hated the weapon. In its place, he wore the long, straight sword of the heavy cavalry, a brute of a weapon, ill-balanced and crude. But Sharp liked the feel of a savage blade that could beat down the slim swords of French officers and crush aside a musket and bayonet. The sword was not his only weapon. For 10 years, Richard Sharp had marched in the red-coated ranks, first as a private, then a sergeant, carrying a smooth-bore musket across the plains of India. He had stood in the line with the heavy flintlock, gone terrified into broken breeches with a bayonet, and he still carried a ranker's weapon into battle. The Baker rifle was his mark, set him aside from the other officers.